Amen.
Amen. Amen. Can you give him a hand clap of praise? Praise. That's worthy of that hand clap of praise this morning.
That's right.
But I believe that he's worthy. Why is he worthy? Because he's my creator.
Amen.
He's the creator of heavens and earth, and he's the creator of the galaxies. If you step out of the evening and you walk out and you look at the worlds above you, you know he holds that in the palm of his hand.
Right.
You know all that was created simply by...
Right. Yes.
Think of that. A creator that's that big.
Right.
Who else is worthy of your praise this morning?
Right.
None.
Right.
Amen. Amen. I count it an honor and a privilege. We're done with singing this morning. An honor and a privilege to be with you this morning again. Trust something was said last night that would help you along your way.
Amen.
And encourage you. That is really our desire. You know, if we can encourage one person, then I would say it would be worth the journey, Brother Daniel. If we can encourage one person along their way, then I believe that we would have done what we was sent to do. If you have your Bibles, would you turn with us to 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1. We'll read that first verse, then we'll pray, and then you guys can have your seats this morning. I'd like to speak to you this morning on last night we spoke on overcoming your chains of circumstance. Now, how many knows that after a prisoner's been set free, that a prisoner doesn't really want to just stay where they've been at?
Right.
I don't believe any prisoner that was ever set free out of a penitentiary, Brother Daniel, wanted to stay in that penitentiary.
No.
But I believe somebody put their walking shoes on.
Right.
I believe whenever they got their chains taken off of them, I believe that you could see, if you was watching that prisoner, I believe you'd watch him lace up his walking shoes because he had places to go. That's what I want to speak on this morning, is put on your walking shoes.
Amen.
Because something's going to happen. Something is happening right now.
Yes.
Verse 1. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. If we could, let's bow our heads this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, once again, Father, we come before you this morning asking, Father, that, Lord, you would come just once more, Father. Lord, as Samson, Father, standing between those pillars, Father, Lord, and as he stood there, Father, and he began to cry out once more, Father, could he feel that presence? Could he feel that power come upon him, Father? Lord, we cry out this morning, Father. Lord, once more, Father, would you come, dear God, and Lord, would you take a coal from off the altar, Father, as it were, and Lord, would you place it to the lips of mortal man this morning, Father? Lord, I don't know what these people have need of this morning, Father, but Lord, you know each and every heart, Father, that's represented, dear God. Lord, I ask, Father, that, Lord, they would come with us so hungry this morning, Father, that, Lord, there wouldn't be enough devils in hell to keep them from you, Father. Lord, I ask, Father, that they would pull on the gift this morning, Father. Lord, if they'll pull, Father, I believe, dear God, we'll hear from your mind this morning, Father. Lord, I ask, Father, that you would bless us this morning, Father, as we look into your word. Take your word, Father, and bless us with it, Father, I pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. You can have your seats this morning. As we begin to look at this little thought, I'm just a simple man with simple ways and a simple preacher. If it's not simple, then I can't understand it. I'm just that type of a person. I like to take I like to take things and type them back to the natural, because of what Brother Branham said, the natural types of spiritual.
That's right.
And you know, I'm in this body with five senses: see, taste, feel, hear, and smell. And I've got to be able somehow to identify. And Brother Branham was a typologist. You know, he would take it and he would type it back with the natural, Brother Tony, and he would bring it into the spiritual. And that's what we would like to do this morning. As we look at this thought on put on your walking shoes, you know, last night we spoke along the lines of overcoming your chains of circumstances, and that we all know that we're trapped in this thing called flesh. And as long as we're in this flesh, we're going to have problems and we're going to have circumstances. The very fact that you're sitting here in this building this morning is a testament to me that every one of you under the sound of my voice has problems. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. You're looking for God to move on the scene. Amen? Is that right? Come on now. Somebody might as well say amen. You're looking for God to move on your behalf. Why? Because you're stuck in a human element. You're stuck in this thing called flesh. But yet the real you is looking for something greater. That's why you're here, because something drove you from where you was at in your rotten, in my rotten, sinful condition. It drove me to a place to where I was looking and I was seeking for God, because I was not happy with where I was. And we ought to thank God for that little unction of the Holy Ghost that will drive a man to his knees. It will drive a man to conviction, and it'll cause him to put on his walking shoe and begin to look and search for God. But as we look at this, and I think of a prisoner that has been bound at one point in time, he was a free man. And we're going to kind of hit some of the things that we hit last night and just keep on kind of going with it. But as I look at him, he was a free man at one point. But I don't believe as the time came for him to be free, you realize at one point he became a man that was bound. He was bound by chains and he was bound by circumstance. Something had came into his life that had put him in a prison house somewhere. And many of us today are sitting in a prison house somewhere, and the enemy's got the key. Hello? The enemy's got the key, and he sits there and he jiggles the key. And you think, you think in your mind you're never going to get out of that situation or that circumstance that you're in. But let me tell you something today. Come on, somebody. Let me tell you something today. That there's a God today that is willing and able to deliver even you, even me. And if we would but just call on His name. Amen. But it's going to take something. You realize that prisoner, whenever he was in prison, and he was granted his freedom, Brother Daniel, I don't believe he said, "Well, I'm happy being in that prison house." No, I believe he took his pardon. Right. I believe he took his pardon. He didn't say, "Well, I done the sin. I committed the act. I should be in bondage." He didn't say that, but he was able to overcome, and he was able to accept his pardon. Right. You realize that's the problem with the bride today.
Right.
She can't accept her pardon.
Right.
You realize that devil will take and he will beat you over the head with something that you've done eons of years ago, even though it is under the blood, and he will try to tell you that you will never overcome because you've done that thing.
Right.
But it does not matter once it comes underneath the shed blood of Almighty God. There is God can't see it no more. Let me tell you something, if it comes back up after it's been put under the blood, there's only one person bringing it to your remembrance, because God can't see it, and if God can't see it, He can't put it to your account. Hello? Oh my, I'm talking about a prisoner walking, putting his walking shoes on and walking somewhere. We're going somewhere today, saint. We can't be happy with that prison house that we're in. We're all sitting in a prison house. You might as well take your halos down and put them in your back pocket. You're sitting in a prison house. It's called flesh.
Amen.
Every morning that you wake up and you look in the mirror, you're looking at a prison house.
Right.
You're looking at a prison house, and that prison house will keep you absolutely locked up if you allow it. But if you'll ever accept your freedom, if you'll ever accept the freedom of the Holy Ghost, you say, you look at Christians today and they don't have no fun. I'm the happiest man alive. I do whatever I want. Why? Because I've had a nature change.
Amen.
I don't want you to say, "Boy, you can't go out and you can't drink, you can't smoke, you can't chew." Well, I'm happy because my nature, it doesn't desire those things. I'm a free man. I do whatever I want. If you desire those things, you've got to check what's driving that thing. You've got to check what's behind that thing that's causing that thirst. Hello? We're talking about putting on your walking shoes this morning. You might as well come with me because I'm leaving. Verse 2, and Elijah said unto Elisha, "Tarry here, I pray thee." Now we're going to type this, so you all bear with me. Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, now notice Elisha's response. Now Elijah's sitting here trying to tell him, why don't you just stay where you're at? Why don't you just be happy with where you're at and just stay right there? I don't want you going with me. I don't want you to rise. Come on now, follow me. I don't want you to rise up any higher than what you're at right now. You just stay right there. But notice Elisha's response to that. He says, I'm not staying in this prison house.
Right.
I'm not staying here. I'm gonna step out and I'm gonna do something about my situation.
Yeah.
You realize that's the problem. People aren't willing to step out and by faith raise their hands.
Right.
Hello?
Yeah.
And by faith clap their hands to the Creator and try to create an atmosphere of worship.
Right.
He inhabits the praises of His people. Have you ever sat down and just begin to clap and begin to say, praise the Lord, and begin to say, God, you're so good. Begins to pull a literal atmosphere of Jesus Christ in amongst you. And whenever that atmosphere comes in, let me tell you something, all hell begins to tremble.
That's right.
Why? Because all darkness has to flee whenever light comes in the room. You take a in that room right there, undoubtedly it's dark right now. But if I went in there and I flipped on a light, darkness would flee. There wouldn't be an ounce of darkness left in that room.
Right.
Why? Because darkness can't stand in the presence of light.
Amen.
Right. Amen. We're talking about putting on our walking shoes and moving toward Christ.
Amen.
We've come past that mountain long enough.
Right.
You've walked around that situation, that circumstance long enough. I'm here to encourage you this morning. If I can encourage you to fight a good warfare and wage a good battle, then I believe that I've done what I was called to do, Brother Tony. If I can encourage you just enough, you realize that in the military, they'll have a man come in there and they'll begin to build the men's spirits. They'll begin to build the men's spirits. And what are they doing? They're building morale.
Right.
They're building their spirits up. They're building them up. They're setting fire. You can take that mountaintop.
Yeah.
You can take that. What do you think you're doing, son? Don't you sit there and be afraid. You're going to take that mountaintop.
Right.
You're going to take that top away from the enemy. Yeah, it looks bad right now. But at the end of the day, you're going to be sitting where he's at.
Right.
At the end of the day, you might be here. But by the end of this trip, you're going to be there. Don't you say you can't make it, son. You're going to make it. And God, I believe, said, sir, and he said, don't you tell me. God don't feel sorry for you.
Come on.
God don't feel a bit sorry for you. We sat there and we say, oh, God, my situation's so much greater than my brother's. So much greater than my sister. But God don't feel sorry for you. He said, why are you crying? Why don't you speak and
Amen.
Go forward?
That's right.
Why don't you speak and take another step of victory?
Amen.
Why don't you speak to your mountain and watch it move?
Right.
God don't feel sorry for you. He ain't listening to your pity party. He wants you to speak the way that you're some God
That's
created
right.
to do. You are the only one on this earth, little bride, that has thus saith the Lord within your head.
Amen.
And if you'll ever use that, and you'll ever let that revelation, I'll ever let that revelation set down deep inside of the channels of my heart, I'm telling you, there ain't enough devils in hell to stop me from walking toward a rapture.
Amen.
There ain't enough devils in hell to stop me from having up being an Enoch. And walking so close to God until finally being as I was not. Hello? Until I was not. I walked right up into heaven with Him. You say you can't do that, Ben? I beg to differ, you can. I believe that the devil's got us so hornswoggled and he's got us so, our minds so fogged. He's got us so fogged until we can't see who we are. He's taking your identity and he's stolen it from you.
Right.
That's right.
He's taking your identity and he's stolen it. Excuse me. You look at identity thieves today. How shrewd they are. We got a call the other day. My wife got a call the other day from our bank. She answers the phone and they told her who they was and everything. And they said, just out of curiosity, are you traveling in Pennsylvania? My wife says, no. They said, well, somebody's using your debit card in Pennsylvania. Somebody had an identity. I never seen him before. Yeah. I don't know who the man is. But yet he come in so shrewdly. He come in such a way that I didn't even know he had come.
Right.
And he had stolen my identity, my wife's identity. And he had taken her very identity and he had begun to use it.
Right.
The devil will take your identity.
That's right.
He knows who you are. He knows good and well who you are. But if he can keep you drained, if he can keep your faith account drained,
yeah.
If he can keep that faith account to where it's a negative balance. Hello?
Uh-huh.
If he can keep that faith account in a negative balance, then he will absolutely rule and reign you.
That's right.
But until you start putting a deposit in
there,
how are you going to deposit into that faith account? Brother Brown said you want to draw closer to God? Pray and read your Bible every day. What's that do? That begins to put deposits into the faith account. What's it do? You can't go nowhere until you got some money to go with. You can't go nowhere until you got some money to go with. You know, you can't. I went to Florida, but I couldn't have went to Florida if there wasn't no money in the bank account to get me to Florida.
Right.
You can't go, you can't put your walking shoes on and start walking toward the mark of the high calling unless there's a little bit of faith somewhere to get you there.
Right.
You walk by what? Faith.
Amen.
You walk by faith, not by sight.
Right.
Not by sight. Your sight might tell you you're sick as a dog. But faith tells me I'm healed.
Amen.
Faith tells me I was healed before the foundation of the world, Brother Tony.
Yes. Right.
And I don't have to live in that situation no longer because God said it. There it is. God said it. I'm not interested in what the devil said. I'm not interested in what my body says. But I'm interested in what God said about me. You know, my body, my flesh will tell me that I'm condemned for death. But God said. But God said. There ain't nobody in this flesh that can live holy. No, it's not going to happen. Why? Because you came into this world born in sin and shaped in iniquity, and came into this world speaking lies.
Right.
Why is it? Because we came by physical desire.
Yeah.
Came the wrong way. Now, the right way was by what? The spoken word.
Right.
The spoken word. That's how the first man and the first man came into existence. It was by what? A spoken word of Jehovah.
Right.
But in this flesh, we came by a sinful desire. We're talking. I'm getting off my subject here, but in this flesh we came by sinful desire. You know, we emphasize too much on trying to perfect flesh.
Right.
Now I'm not saying. I believe we're all mature enough to know that I'm not saying you go out and live like the devil, because I believe that once there's been a life change and a nature change, that you, it's not in you to do those things
that's
anymore.
Right.
Follow
right.
me this morning.
Amen.
I'm not saying that you can just live any old way that you want, Brother Tony.
Right.
But by God's grace, by that God that's on the inside of you, it will govern you. What is it? It's that man laying in the control tower.
That's
yeah.
right.
Hello? There's a man laying in the control tower. And as he's in that control tower, it begins to dictate what you do. It begins to dictate how you respond to certain situations. Well, the way I would respond to a situation wouldn't be the way God would respond to a situation. But as you begin to see that nature change come in, you begin to watch who's in the control tower.
Yeah.
You begin to see, you can identify that by the nature.
Amen.
An apple tree is going to produce apples.
Right.
A peach tree is going to produce peaches. The world's going to produce the world.
Right. Right.
And God is going to produce God.
That's right. Amen.
I believe I'm talking to God this morning.
Amen.
I believe I'm talking to God. You are creators.
Right.
You are the God of this day. Little G-O-D.
Right.
You are. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's Christ. It's not Christ in the denomination. It's not Christ in the Baptist, in the Pentecostal, in the Presbyterian, in the Nazarene. It's Christ in you.
Right. Amen.
It's Christ in you.
Right.
Verse 2, I've got to get through this. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here. Just stay where you're at. I pray thee for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth. Now notice his response to that. He says, I'm not staying where I'm at because I'm not happy with where I'm at. That's what the problem is. We get too comfortable.
That's right.
We get too comfortable. Well, I can't go no further in God because this is it. I've arrived. I don't never want to just arrive.
Right.
I want to keep on walking with that pillar of fire.
Amen.
Keep on walking. You know, as he said, as the Lord liveth and thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they, it says, so they. Now notice he was trying to get rid of him and to get him to stay right there. Now I believe God will sometimes test you to see just how bad you want it. Right. How bad do you want your loved ones? How bad do you want to see them saved? How bad do you really want it? What are you going to do to get it? Are you going to be one of these that will stand there? How bad do you want your daughter saved? How bad do you want your son saved? Will you absolutely grab a hold of the horns of the altar and say, as Jacob did in the days of old, God, I'll not let you go until you bless me.
Right.
Will you, as Brother Branham said, get the victory over Jehovah? Brother Brown said that God, that Jacob had the victory over Jehovah. Think of that. Think of that. Jacob had the victory. That's what Brother Brown said. He said Jacob had the victory over Jehovah. Because he was so compelled. He had need of something, Brother Daniel. And he was not going to be happy. He had done laced his shoes up. He was in it for the long haul.
Right.
He had done walked across the River Jordan, which is River Jordan is a type of death.
Right.
He had done died out to himself, Brother Daniel.
Right.
It wasn't he on the other side of Jordan. It was a fleshly desire. But as he walked through that river of death, there was something that began to happen. A revelation struck his heart. Amen. And he began to die out to himself. He walked through that river of death. And whenever he walked through that river of death, it didn't matter what flesh said anymore. It didn't matter how bad flesh hurt. It didn't matter. You realize you'll crucify your flesh every day.
Amen.
I crucify my flesh every day.
That's right.
It's a daily dying out.
Right.
It's a dying out daily.
Right.
It's not a one and done, but it's daily. But Jacob, as he was on that side of the river, he walked through that valley of death, and he began to die out to this thing called flesh. And on the other side, he was able to make contact with God. Otherwise, whenever he was so caught up in carnality and things like that, he could have never made it to God. But once he went through that river Jordan, and he got serious with God, I'm saying it's time that somebody got down serious with God.
Yeah.
Because we're coming to the final stretch of this last day. You say, I've heard that all of my life, but now look at the end time sign. Now tell me, as you look at your government, how that they're turning against Israel. We was the only nation that stood with Israel firmly. But now we're turning against her. Every day we turn a little further against her.
Right.
You tell me where we're at.
Right.
I ask you where we're at. We're at the last day. Y'all heard that all my life. But now you look at the time. How that everything begins to fall into place. Something's going to happen. And Elisha knew that something was going to happen. Elisha knew that he couldn't leave the word.
Right.
Elisha knew that something was going to take place. And what was it? He was so determined to stay right with that word.
That's right.
Come on, follow me this morning. He was so determined. He was determined nothing was going to deter him from the word of that day. How many believes Elijah was the word of that hour?
Amen.
He was the word of the hour. Elisha says, there's nothing that's going to take and deter me or bring me off the ear or bring me off there, but I'm going to stay focused. I'm going to keep my eyes toward on the mark of the high calling. And it says, as the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee, so they went to Bethel. Didn't say Elijah went by himself. But Elisha said, you going, I'm going too, buckwheat. You going, I'm going too. You're going to take me with you because I'm watching you leave this world. I'm watching you leave this world because once you leave this world, there's a double portion coming to me. And there ain't enough devils in hell to stop me from receiving my part.
Amen.
There ain't enough devils in hell to stop me from receiving the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Verse 3, and the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel. Excuse me. Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. In other words, Elisha's saying, yeah, I know God's going to do something big. I want to ask you this morning, how many believe God's able to do something big for you today?
Amen.
How many want something big? How many wants to feel God move on your situation and want Him to do something big for you? I say, as the Lord liveth, I'll not let you go, God, until you bless me today. I'm not waiting till Wednesday. I'm not waiting till next Sunday. I'm not waiting till a month from now. But I'm getting it right now.
Amen.
God wants somebody that'll grab a hold of the Lord to the altar, and they'll put their walking shoes on and they'll say, God, no matter where you go, no matter if I understand it or if I don't, I'm going to stay right with you. And God, I'm going to see it. I'm going to see that revelation. I'm going to watch it come in. I'm going to let it become who I am. I'm going to let that become me. I'm going to let your word become me. That's what it's coming to.
Right.
That's what it's coming to. You are becoming Word.
Right.
You are the Word. Hello?
Amen.
Do you believe that?
Amen.
Amen. He said, yeah, I know it. Hold your peace. I know He's going to do something big for me. I feel it. Because I am willing to do whatever it takes to get it. Verse 4, and Elijah said unto him, now watch it again, come again. Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee. You don't want that, Elisha. You just stay right here. Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me. Oh, he didn't say nothing about Elisha. He said, the Lord has sent me, Elijah, to Jericho. And he said, now notice the response again. We're finding out just how bad Elisha wants this thing.
Yeah.
We're finding out just how bad what he's willing to do to get it.
Yeah.
We're finding out how many circumstances and how many roadblocks has been trying to put the enemy's trying to put in front of him. Or am I the only one that has roadblocks that the enemy tries to put in front of us?
Mm-hmm.
Am I the only one that has to struggle with those things? Sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth. There's starting to be a pattern here. There's starting to be something that this guy's serious.
Yeah.
You realize that if my child wants something, any one of them kids back there wants something bad enough, they will do anything within their means to get it. We're talking about a childlike faith. You take that child back there, any one of them children, I can tell them something and they'll believe it because daddy said it.
That's right.
They'll believe it because daddy said it. They don't have to understand it. They just believe it because daddy said so, and that's just the way it is. And don't you, Brother Daniel, tell them any different. Because daddy said it's that way. And if I tried to tell one of these young men that was different, they'd say, no, daddy said it was this way. Why? Because they believe what daddy said.
Right.
They believe it. There's nothing on this earth that could change your mind. But if they want something bad enough, let me tell you, they're going to get it. We've got Dr. Pepper. Or Pepsi, for that matter. Whatever it may be in the house. If they want a drink of that, they're going to come to me and they're going to say, Daddy, can I have this? And I'm going to say, no. Well, that don't satisfy it. Because I've got Elisha's. I've got Elisha's. I tell him, go put that back in the refrigerator. You ain't getting it. You just stop. Okay. It ain't over. I'll put it in the refrigerator, but this ain't over. We ain't done with this conversation yet. You know what I'm talking about. We ain't done with what we're talking about, Dad. I got a bone to pick with you. So they'll take it over there. They might do what I tell them to do, put it in the refrigerator. But once that door closes, they come right on back over to Dad. Dad, I have need of something. Dad, I want what you have the power to give me. I have the power sitting in my hands. You say, Ben, that's carnal. Well, you can top it spiritual.
That's right.
We're talking about the natural top and the spiritual. Right. I have a bed within my means. I have exactly what that child has need of. I have exactly what that child wants. They may not need it, but they want it. And God said, He is a provider of all your needs. But He's not a provider of just your needs. He said, I am a God of more than enough. Many people, they will say, God, if you'll just give me enough to meet my bills. If you'll just give me enough to meet my bills, God, I'll be happy. But He didn't say He would just give me enough to meet my bills.
Right.
He didn't say that. Because He said, I'll never see a seed begging for bread.
Right.
And I said, I am a provider of more than enough. That tells me that I'm going to have enough to pay my bills and then some.
Right. Right.
I've watched Him do it many, many, many times. I done a house one time. It's been 4 or 5 years ago, something like that. It was a great big house. It was 10,000 square feet. It was just huge. And I had done this house, and they had came in. It was a custom home for a doctor. And they had came in, and they had made a bunch of different changes on the house. And as they make a change, that costs money. Because if I built a wall once and I'm moving the wall, I've already, you know, they paid me to put the wall there. That was as per plan. So now if they're wanting to move that wall, now they're going to have to pay me to do it. So we'd had a bunch of change orders in this house, and this house lasted over the stretch of about 4 months. Well, we had change orders, and I believe the change orders totaled like $6,000. Is what they had changed. Is how much they had changed in this house. The roof line was all messed up. The architect messed it up. I had to redesign it and fix it. So that cost some money. So as I done that, and I got into this house. At the end of the house, I submitted my change orders, and they refused to pay those change orders. I had already paid my help to do this, and I had missed the bid. I had messed the bid up. So I had already lost my money. And I had already went for 2 or 3 weeks, I myself not getting getting paid. But I was paying my help. So, long story short, they refused to pay those change orders. And I was not done with the house yet, and I had about 2 weeks left on it. And they came to me and they said, we're not paying you for those change orders. Now, by right, I could have looked at them and I could have walked off the job. And left it. By right. Legally. And I looked at the man, the contractor, and I said, now look, I said, you know and I know that those change orders are legitimate. I said, I have a right now to walk off of this job, take my tools and my guys, and go somewhere that'll pay. I said, but I signed on to do a job. I said, whenever I signed a contract, I signed saying I would finish this job. I said, and finish I will. I said, I will finish this job. We didn't have money to put food on our table. Literally, we had no money. That's a scary place to be. And for a man, as he's struggling to provide, and he runs into a situation like that to where he has no money, it begins to affect the man emotionally. All you brothers know what I'm talking about. It begins to affect you emotionally, and the devil will take and he'll hound you and plague you and torment you. Or he does me.
Right.
He does me. But long story short, my wife knew that how many believe God gives you a wife for a helpmate? How many believe that your wife is somebody that'll stand by you no matter what through thick and thin? I've watched her walk with me through things that my best of friends would have left my side and never walked through it with me. But not her. She'll stand beside me. And she knew that as I was facing this, that I was really down and I was out. And one of my favorite things is an apple pie. Well, we didn't have an apple pie crust to make an apple pie. I believe we had apples. No apples. But we did not have an apple pie crust to make this pie, Brother Tony. And she knew that would encourage me, that would help my spirits. Yeah. And she wanted so bad to do that, but there was no way that we had the money to do that. And she walked out to our building. At that time, we lived in a house that was real small, and we had a storage building on the outside, and there was a refrigerator, a freezer out there. And she knew that there was nothing out there. There was no pie crust out there. And she walked out there for something. I can't remember why she walked out there. But as she opened up that lid, right laying on the top, laid a pie crust. He is the provider of all my needs. He is Jehovah Jireh, my provider. He is Jehovah Jireh, your provider. You have need of something, He will give you your very heart's desire.
Right. Amen.
He will give you your very heart's desire. He didn't say you had to need it. If you did whatsoever things you desire when you pray. Hello? Right. Whatsoever things you even desire, He will give it to you. Why do we live down here? You say, Ben, that's carnal. But it's what God done for me.
Right.
It's what God can do and has done undoubtedly for many of you. How many times have you wrote that check knowing that there was not enough money in there to clear that check, but yet somehow God provided a way to put the money there that check could clear?
Right.
How many times? I ask you now, why do you fear? What are you scared of? Are you scared that God won't come through? Am I scared that God won't come through after He's done it time and time again, Brother Daniel?
Right.
Time and time again, but yet the enemy implants fear.
That's right.
And he tries to keep you scared. And he tries to keep... Well, what if God don't? That's not an option.
Right.
Failure's not an option. If you're a bride, failure's not an option. Is that right or wrong?
Yes.
Failure is not an option. If God doesn't come through on His promise, if it's thus saith the Lord, if God doesn't see it through to the end, then God's a liar. That's right. That's right. If God doesn't see His word through, God's a liar.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, but I don't serve no liar.
Amen. Amen.
But I serve a God that said, what you have need of, that I'll be. I'm the Prince of Peace. I'm the joy giver. Amen.
Right.
I'm the joy giver. You might be down and out, but there is joy. God is the Prince of Peace.
Yeah.
What do you have need of today? Put your walking shoes on and let's go get it.
Amen.
Put your walking shoes on and let's go get it. Let's not just sit there and say, well, I'm going to be beat up by it. No, that's not an option.
Right.
But what I'm going to do is I'm going to say, God, I might not understand it. I might not know how it's going to come out at the end of the day. But nevertheless, I'm going to keep walking toward it. I'm going to do as Elisha does. Yeah, I might have a roadblock here, but I'm going to go over the roadblock and I'm going to press through until finally I press through to the hem of your garment. Talking about finding God.
Yeah.
That's what we got to do today, saints. We've got to find Him. I've got to get going here. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth and thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And so, and it says, so they. Once again, Elisha tried to get rid of him. But Elisha says, no. So they. Seems like there's a pattern beginning to develop here.
Yep.
Seems like there's somebody that's getting serious.
Right.
Yes. Sounds to me like he knew he had a promise, and he knew that there was nothing going to hold him back.
Amen.
From attaining to that promise. Verse 5, and the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? Now notice his answer again. He said, yes. He answered, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. He said it again, his confession. Notice his confession. He's holding true to that confession. He don't see the benefits of it yet. He doesn't see the reality of it yet. But yet he holds true to that confession. Hold your peace. In other words, I know he's going to do something big.
Yeah.
It's not a if he will, it's an I know he will.
Man.
And Elijah said unto him, now we're doing it again. Tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth and thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle. There was people standing around. By now we have a congregation. Now we have a congregation of people watching to see what God's going to do. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither. So that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask, what shall I do for thee? Now notice, here is the reward for the sacrifice. Elisha had went through valley after valley, Elijah had tried to stop him.
Right.
Time and time again. But yet, he was persistent. He was persistent. Now notice the reward for the sacrifice. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit come upon me. Spirit be upon me. And he said, thou asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire. Now notice what they was doing when Elisha was taken up. It says, and it came to pass, as they still went on and and notice what happened as they were talking along the way. God appeared.
Right.
That's right.
There's a pattern there as they were walking on the road to Emmaus. You know, I've got to think that Elisha and Elijah had to be talking about what God done in the meetings over here. Had to be talking about how that God had opened the blinded eyes, and how that the sinner was saved, and how that God was so great, how he would take time out of eternity to come and to pass by their way. I believe they was talking about Almighty God, because whenever you talk about Him, something begins to happen.
That's right.
You begin to call that presence of Jesus Christ in amongst you wherever you're at. You take a group of people. And as you begin to talk, you talk about Satan, you talk about God, and you begin to communicate one with another, and you begin to talk about Him. Well, God just got to come where He talked about.
Right.
You take a room back there in the back room. Me and the brothers was standing back there, and we was talking, and we got to talking about God and the things that He was doing, And you felt that presence come in amongst into that room. What was it? Somebody was talking about Him.
Amen.
Somebody was talking about Him. And it actually pulled that presence of God down in that back room with us brothers. Why? Because somebody began to talk about Him and begin to say, God, I have need. God, You're great. God, You're wonderful. Right. You say, God, Ben, why don't we feel God move in our church services? I ask you, what do you do to make God move?
Yeah.
Right.
In your church services. Right. You get what you put in. Any investment. Any investment that Brother Tony, that you would invest in today's market, you only get what you're willing to put in.
Right?
You'll only get, Brother Daniel, what you're willing to put into an investment. And you know, people, these businessmen, they will take and they'll look at this investment over here, and they'll look at this investment, and they'll look and they'll see what yields the highest return and what has the best track record over the past 10 years, and they'll look and they'll begin to look at that, and what is it? They've got to initially put something in to receive the benefit. The same thing with God. We're talking about an eternal investment, though. We're not talking about an investment that's going to burn. We're talking about an investment that'll see you through to eternal life.
Yeah.
We're talking about, you know, the rich young ruler had an opportunity to make an investment in eternal life. But he chose the carnal things. He chose the things of the world. But he had an opportunity, Brother Daniel, to invest in eternal life. I believe that if I had an investment here that I had in front of me, and I said that if you'll put $100 into it and it'll grant you eternal life, I'll bet you everybody would be lined up to put $100 into this investment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I hope they was. Everybody would be lined up, Brother Tony, to put $100 into that investment because they're going to live forever. But I'm talking to you today about something that doesn't require anything but a sacrifice, a life of sacrifice.
Yep.
Something that doesn't require anything but saying, God, I'm a sinner, will you save my soul? Something that doesn't require anything but saying, God, I'll live for you.
Yep.
And the return on investment is better than anything you'll get out in the world, because it will bring about a body change.
Man.
It will bring about a body change. I want that kind of investment.
Amen.
I'm not worried about the other things. I want an investment, because whenever I get up, you know, I'm a young man, but I still wake up with aches and pains. I still hurt whenever I wake up in the morning. My back still hurts whenever I get up in the morning. You realize, I wake up and I look and I feel how that I hurt and I get sick. You know, there's a body that's created for me. There's a land that's not built by human hand. There's something that's created for me over on the other side that doesn't hurt. It doesn't ache. It doesn't have pain. It doesn't have sickness. What is it? It's called a theophany. It's called my theophany body. And there's something. What is it? As these aches and pains, they begin to set in. What is it? It's that theophany calling me, saying there's something greater than this. There's something greater than this thing that I've been bound in. And I've got to be able to walk toward it. Excuse me. I've got to be able to walk toward that. There's something greater than this that I'm bound in. As you wake up yesterday, Brother Daniel was sick. But what was it? There's a body that's created for you, Brother Daniel, that'll never feel that experience again. It doesn't have sickness. It doesn't have heartache. It doesn't have pain. I'm saying, I'm a pilgrim and a stranger passing through.
Amen.
I don't belong here.
Amen.
And I don't believe any Christian, any bride can say that they're comfortable here. There's a squeeze taking place right now.
Right.
And then I'm telling you right now, I am so uncomfortable in this world. Every day I live, I realize more and more I do not belong.
Amen.
Here.
Right.
But I belong in the eternities.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We're going to try to bring this to a close here. It came to pass as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven, And Elisha saw it and cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took a hold of his own clothes and rent them into pieces. And he took also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and he smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? I ask you, where is the God of Elijah today? That God that stood there on a platform. That God that stood there on a platform, and as they would walk through, and he would look at them, and he would say, your name is such and such. You have such and such wrong with you. You got cancer, or whatever the case may have been. And he says, you don't live here. You're from Arkansas or somewhere. You don't live here. You don't live here, but you're from somewhere else, and this is what's wrong with you. Where's that God today? I say he's sitting in pews today, but we've got to be able to learn how to operate it. We've got to be able to tap into those untapped resources. Brother Branham said we had untapped resources.
Yeah.
Untapped. Where is the God of Elijah? People say, well, Brother Branham's gone. Those things can't happen. Well, I say, where is the God of Elijah? Brother Branham, God will take his man, but never that spirit. That spirit still is here on this earth today. It has to be. God will take his man, but never that spirit.
Yeah.
Right.
Where does that spirit lie today? It's sitting in church pews right now.
Right.
Each and every one of you. But what's it going to take? It's going to take faith. It's going to take faith from God alone. What's it going to be whenever you open up your door one day and one of your dead loved ones is standing there at the door?
Yeah.
What's that going to do, Brother Daniel? What's that going to do whenever you open up that? Whenever I open up my door and my grandpa's standing there looking at me, what's that going to do? That's going to set faith within the heart of the believer.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. And he said, where am I at? And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and he smote the waters. And smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. That spirit had changed. It didn't leave with William Branham.
Right.
But it went from William Branham to a bride.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's right.
But the only way that Elisha would have ever came to this part, to this part of his ministry, the only way that Elisha ever obtained to where he's at right now is because he was not wavered. He was not wavered, and there was nothing that the devil could do to stop him from moving on. He said, Elijah, you can walk for miles. You can walk from one end of this country to the other, but you better believe that I'm going to be right behind you. You better believe that whenever you look behind you, you look to your side, there I'll be, because I'm not leaving your side.
Right.
That was the determination of Elisha. That was the revelation. He knew that he had to see him go. And he said, I will not leave the Word. There's many things out there today that will try to pull you from the Word today. It's on every corner, brother. It's on every corner. It's on every website. They're trying to disprove for all they're worth what I stand for. But as we said last night, the Pharisees tried for all they was worth to disprove my Savior. I say to you this morning, stand strong. Be of good courage. War good warfare. Fight the good fight. Because we're coming to the end. Don't let that devil deceive you. He said it would be so close that it would deceive the very elect if it were possible. Amen.
Stand with me at your feet this morning. We could just bow our heads this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before you this morning, Father, Lord, we want to say, Father, it's been good, Father, to be in your house this morning, Father. Lord, how, Father, that you came by, Father, and Lord, you came by and you spoke with us along the way, Father. Lord, we ask, Father, that, Lord, you would take, Father, these words that were spoken this morning, Father. Lord, would the people be able, Father, to take something out of it, Father, and that, Lord, they would be able, Father, to take another step, Father. That they'd be able to take another mountain, dear God, go through another valley, Father. Lord, that they would be able, Father, to wage a good warfare, Father. Lord, I ask, dear God, that, Lord, you'd bless every one of them, Father, that's under the sound of my voice, Father, as they go out into the world, Father. Lord, that devil, Father, he's on every corner. But, Lord, our greater is he that is within us, Father, than he that is in the world. Lord, I ask, Father, that you would take them, Father, and bless each one of them for their sacrifice this morning, Father. Lord, the ones that are sick among us, dear God, Lord, would you heal their bodies, Father, I pray. Lord, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
this morning illustrates a tremendous thing that we should probably think about there with Elijah and Elisha. We live now in the days, obviously, of Elijah. And Elisha is a type of the church.
Yes.
To follow after Elijah. And, you know, the different times they're going to the different places there, as he read, those are actually typed out with justification and sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. And that last group there was 50. 50 represents Pentecost. That last group there was witnesses to Elijah and Elisha both going across. And they were also had to come, that same 50 had to come to bear witness afterwards that spirit was upon Elisha.
Uh-huh.
You hear what the message is saying? This modern generation that rejected William Branham, or maybe the ones that even recognized him as being a mighty man and that spirit and that move of God, they have to come to a recognition of that being in the bride at some point.
Yeah.
And so I hadn't really thought about it too much until our brother was speaking, but, you know, it's not the physical thing, it's not the wicked things of the world that's really a distraction to us.
No.
Right? It's spiritual, it's religious things. That's right. What Satan put all his efforts in, is that sort of thing. Spiritual things to try and sidetrack us. And the brother touched on it slightly. There's plenty out there right now that's trying to get our eyes off of Elijah.
Right.
Trying to get our eyes off of the Word, because that's what he represented. And every time those, he would say, he would go to one of these places we read there a while ago, and they would come and say, you know, your master, you know he's going to be taken. Elisha would say, I know it, hold your peace. I picture that as him saying, listen, don't distract me. He had his eyes upon that word.
Yeah.
And
that's
he
right.
said, don't you, justification, or the religious people under Luther, under Wesley, don't let that bother you. Don't let that sidetrack you. Keep your eyes on the word. And even Pentecost, don't let that sidetrack you. Keep your eyes on that word.
Amen.
Because it's through that interaction. And as he pointed out, when they got on the other side and they went along and they talked along the way.
Yeah.
That's how important it is to fellowship with the Word.
Amen.
That we talk to Him and He talks back to us.
Right.
And that's it's really all we have to do. And of course, we know what happened there. That spirit came upon Elisha. And Elisha went in that spirit and did twice as many things as Elijah did. So we have that promise that we got to keep our eyes upon the Word. We got to keep in fellowship with the Word. You know, in Malachi chapter 3, chapter 4, you know that's speaking of Elijah to come. But in Malachi 3, as it's closing out that chapter, getting ready to go into Malachi 4, where it speaks of the prophet of this day. The scripture said, they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. So what? They were in fellowship around the Word.
Right.
And you know what the scripture said? They that feared the Lord spake often one another, and a book of remembrance was written. God wrote a book of remembrance about those, because of that they spake often one another. And he said, I'll spare them in the day when I make up my jewels. Now this is all talking about at this coming of Elijah, and we're in the day now where he's making up his jewels, where he's letting that fire test. And he said there would be a day that would be as an oven. And if whoever was in one, right now would be it, I think.
Right.
And that day was another one, would burn and test and try. And in that day, when he's making up his jewels, he said, those that feared one another spake off another. He wrote a book. He said, I'll spare them in that day.
Yeah.
And that's the day we are now. So
Amen.
I said all that because it's important that we fellowship with each other and talk to one another and draw from one another around the Word of God.
Amen.
Thank the Lord for what He spoke to us. I kind of had a chuckle there when He mentioned about having little Elishas. I never thought about that, but that's really what it is. Brother, every time from this time forward, when our children comes to us and persistent about something, it's going to be pretty hard because I'm going to think of Elisha. You know? So be another slant on things on how to deal with that. But perseverance is something that's really good.
That's right.
Right. And it's true. God said, I'll give you the desire of your hearts. If your desire is right, you keep pressing on. And God will give that desire to you. And so we thank Him for that. Let's bow our hearts to Him in closing prayer. Heavenly Father, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord again today. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We know that it is able to accomplish all things. Lord, that you even would send your word and heal. And Lord, we realize that's what takes place in the ministry of the word, that it drives evil things away from us. It heals us in our spirit, and our even in our body, in our flesh, the sicknesses leave in the presence of the word. We thank you, Lord, for being faithful, being that faithful and true witness to be here in this hour and to confirm your presence and the bringing to pass of what you've said you would do in this hour. Lord, as we see that we have so many things trying to distract us, get our eyes off of the word, Lord, I pray and ask a special blessing upon this people, Lord. It would cause us to our attention to be focused down even more on the word of the hour, Lord. God, our relationship with this Elijah ministry, Lord, that we would enter into even more fellowship with the word, Lord, in these days ahead. God, because we know there's a body change coming for us.
Yes.
We know, God, there's something you'll do great for us, and we just want to stay true and listen to what Elijah has to say. Follow that word. I pray, God, that you'd help us in this way, Lord, to be persevering in this hour that's got so many things to distract us. Ask, Lord, for your blessings upon each of the saints as they go. Lord, that you be with them in their travels, be with them in their work, be with them in their fellowship with one another. And Lord, you just let your life move among them, Lord. Bring them closer to each other, closer to you. We thank you, Lord. Ask for these things today in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing this song just for a little bit before we go. And the things of earth will grow strange and dim in the light of His glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus.
Strange.